4 minutes, and I'm going to tell you who speaks and who's going to speak next, so you're prepared to come up. So first we have Sarai, and then we have Ray. Sarai, will you come up? And you can stand wherever you feel comfortable and address whoever you feel comfortable addressing.
Hi, so I'm back again, and I'll probably keep coming back because I feel like y'all need to listen to the public that is outside of your sphere. So I've found out a lot of disturbing things about what has been going on here. And I just wanted to ask that y'all please do the right thing. And as far as the removal of Larry Winters, I just don't understand how what has occurred is even possible, how there is no accountability. And it really makes the board seem kind of illegitimate. Because if y'all voted on something, why aren't y'all following through on this? Why is this man still being able to cause all this chaos? I don't understand. Can anyone answer?
Not right now.
Answer right now.
Okay, so, but yeah, so basically, I just want y'all to do your job, what y'all signed up to do, and actually follow through on what y'all supposed to do. I'm just asking as a person from the outside looking at what's going on, it looks very dysfunctional. And if y'all want this station to be successful, y'all really need to start catering not only to certain people's needs, y'all need to expand that. I mean, y'all need to be more inclusive and more intersectional. Y'all need to include people of color. Y'all need to, you know, give us a platform. Because instead, right now, especially right now in the climate that we're in, we need a voice. That voice is being slowly taken away. And when y'all keep taking shows off like Night Sounds and attack like in the media, which is giving us a voice, it just seems like the agenda, there is an agenda here to suppress our voices. So we're asking that y'all do the right thing, or I'm asking y'all to do the right thing, because honestly, it just looks, it looks really bad, really disorganized, really chaotic, and just, like I said, illegitimate. So if y'all want to regain some kind of credibility, I ask y'all to please do the right thing.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I want to begin by expressing my sincere appreciation for your duties on this board and my deepest sympathy for being in that trap. I was on the first board of KPFT, but Texas took me away to prison, and I tried to serve on the board from my prison cell, but that was not working out very well for Larry Lee and I, so I surrendered the position to a real body out here. When I got out of prison after about 5 years, I got doubly punished because I became the general manager of KPFT, which is not a pleasant job. What I enjoy most about KPFT is being in radio. I love radio. I love to find audiences for whom radio does not serve. And I found first that we're gay people. We didn't have radio. So I kind of invented radio for gay people and did Wildenstein. The show's still on the air. It's known as Queer Voices now. But it's the same concept, a magazine show about news and information important to a community that cannot easily access news and information. And then when I became general manager, I woke up one morning and I could do anything I wanted to as long as it was radio, because I was running that sucker. You've noticed that you're not the programming committee, that administration takes care of programming. So I gave myself an hour and I started the prison show. When I die, my work on the prison show will be probably the most remembered effort in media. I've asked these folks, and they've asked me to come here. It's the blue t-shirt gang. And these are the people that continue that work. They are black and they are brown and they are male and they are female. They are conservative and they are liberal. Some of them are downright radicals. And a good many of them are very good activists in their own right. Linda is an activist that stands in front of death row every time they kill somebody. And Mike, God only knows where he is, somewhere in North Dakota, in the freezing weather, trying to do his duty to see to it that Native Americans and water rights are protected. And meanwhile, back at home, David produces, figures out the schedule, sorts out the time, and makes it work. I haven't been there in 5 years. Once in a while, I'll drop in for a cameo, but they don't need me. The prison show is not about who's there. The prison show is about the importance of its existence, and I want to thank you for listening to me.
I got another name. Is the board okay with me mixing it in? Okay. So now we have Lisa and then Judy.
Excuse me, everybody. I'm a little shaky because I just had 2 doctor's appointments this week and 2 more doctor's appointments coming up. There's a lot going on with me, so I don't even know where to begin. Start with the people on Facebook so they can see this later. I think a lot of people are kind of confused what's going on. And just to kind of give a little bit more information, it's a real, very big cameo. I'm sorry. It'll be me. Like, I just got out of surgery and I'm still alive. I had a tumor in my neck and I made it. My show was after the prison show. My show went on for 5 years. I know a lot of y'all. And, well, I lost my show, and it was really wrong the way it happened. And if anybody else deserves a cameo, it would be Sarah E., who came here and talked about North Dakota. She is a water protector. She's an amazing person. Like, you have definitely got the attention of a lot of activists. You want to talk about activists, you got a lot of attention of a lot of activists in Houston right now. A lot of them can't be here. Just like me, I couldn't really be here, but I'm here because it's not just about me. So I'm here for speak up about a lot of people. But what I really want to mention is right here, I'm so glad these names are here. William Crozier, you're the national board member. And this is what, or he is the interim executive director.
He was.
But he was during the whole time all this happened with me losing my show, with Larry Winters calling me a fucking nut, talking about my Asperger syndrome, me sharing that with people, losing my show because of it. He knew about it. He knew about all the things I went through. Knew about my surgery that I was going to have. I was told that I may wake up and have facial paralysis and never smile again. I can never sing the same way again. But every time I'm here, he does the same thing. He's like, and he looks down. He does not treat me like a person. I have never gotten an apology for that. How come I don't get treated like a person? And Rhonda Gardner right here crossing her arms. Later on, we will see a video. You all see the video of her coming this close to my face and yelling at me. We had a meeting one time here, and I was waiting outside minding my own business. She came running out there, came right in my face, telling me, the meeting's over. Then started saying stuff about my family. And all kinds of horrible things. I had to come the other day to speak up against Larry Winters and what he did. But when I came, I couldn't even go into the room by myself because I was too scared of her. But you know what? I've overcome so much stuff, I'm not scared anymore. But watch out, this woman is really quick to raise her arms and try to hit someone. And the old interim executive director did nothing about it. He just keeps this one. Deborah keeps looking that way. He doesn't, and I don't, I've lost faith in y'all. I'm sorry. I'm hearing too many things of the people that have spoke up, not just for me and autism, but people that have spoke up against the racism happening in the station. speak of somebody that was on the prison show that spoke of racism in the station. She lost her spot in the prison show. All of y'all that were in blue shirts, you know what y'all did to her? She goes to death row, and she goes and she visits the inmates. Do y'all know about that? The meetings are not shared enough to the public, for the public to get involved. So that's why it goes on Facebook Live. Because there's too much sneaky stuff going on in here. This company does need to have a H&R representative when something goes wrong like this. It should not be carried on this long. There is racism in this station. There is discrimination in this station. The one show that spoke up for me, Indie Media, guess what happened? They lost their show right after they spoke about my name on air. I must be a horrible person.
Thank you, Lisa.
But I'm alive.
I've got another name on the list, so I'm going to mix them in. Now we're down to 2 minutes per speaker. I have Venetia and then Nick.
What happened to me?
You're in here.
Okay, you're mixing them up.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it fairly. Otherwise, people get at the end of the list. And it's strategic.
So do you have Wendy on one of those cards?
I do. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
I didn't hear any calls.
It's Venetia's turn.
I have a few requests from the board. First of all, I would like to ask you to support the work of the committees, because there's a reason that you form committees. There's a reason that you choose people to be in this committee.
Please.
So I know that there's been something brought up about the attendance record, and there was a committee formed to deal with that, and that has
been
dealt
with. Can you wait for a second? Right. Sir, you're out of order. Thank you. I paused your time.
And so that and the Management Selection and Review Committee has been working for months, so I'm asking the board to respect their work. Because I have been on this board, and I know that a lot of members will try and disrespect the work of the committees. The other thing I want to ask is I want to ask the interim executive director, Tom Livingston, to respect the work of the board and to respect the decisions of the board, including the decision to remove Larry Winters and bring back Dr. Kamau. I want to point out to everyone that Larry Winters has not attended a single meeting. He's not here. Dr. Kamau is still here, even though he was fired and completely disrespected by this board, and especially by this guy right here, Bill Crozier. The last thing I want to say is to the people on the prison show who you all advocate for prisoners and people in jail and people who are not, who have been to jail and prison. Bill Crozier looked at my arrest record when I was on the board and running for re-election, and he tried to use it against me. And I feel like that is something that y'all should know that, and that should concern you. I think that's it. I support Dr. Kamau. I support Dr. Kamau coming back. He did great things for the few months that he was here. I'm really, really ashamed of this board for not working faster to bring him back. And I ask Tom Livingston to respect the decisions of this board. They've already asked for Larry Winters to be removed and for Dr. Kamau to come back. So I support Dr. Kamau being our rightful general manager. I am really disgusted by Bill Crozier right now. The other thing I want to bring up is with this issue about prisoners being disenfranchised and not being allowed to speak to the committee, that's bullshit. Hank Lamb has multiple times tried to throw in roadblocks. I was chair of the Management Review Committee when we did the review a few years ago, twice. Hank Lamb was on the board. He pulled the same stuff. Hank pulled the same stuff. So trying to say that programmers were disenfranchised by coming in to speak to the committee is completely false. It's not true. And Bill Crozier, I saw an email that he sent to everyone revealing who came to the meeting. So he's breaking confidentiality.
Nick,
he should be removed from the board for breaking confidentiality. That's not the first time he's done something like that.
Point of order, Madam Chair. Our bylaws require us to do a minimum of 30 minutes, and I don't think that we should be. We can delay our executive session a few minutes for people to talk.
Second.
We need to hear them.
Okay.
And, I make a motion to extend time.
Is there an objection to this?
No.
So let's go back to 4 minutes each. So you have 2 more minutes, Venetia. Sorry to interrupt your flow there.
All I really wanted to say that this is the last thing I wanted to say. Bill Crozier revealing who came to the committee is not. I'm not going to repeat what you said because it will reveal who came. So I'm not going to repeat it. So don't shake your head. You should be fortunate that it wasn't a public email sent to everyone. This is not the first time that he's done something like this. He unilaterally fired Dr. Kamau and hired Larry Winters, who was fucking up left and right. And now he's revealing who is talking to the Management Selection Review Committee. One of the problems at the station is that programmers are scared to talk to management because people like Bill Crozier do stuff like this. So I really ask for the board, and I ask Tom Livingston to seriously consider removing Bill Crozier. Not only there's been a trial with him where he, I think there was like four or five different things that he was found guilty of, one of which was illegally firing Dr. Kamau and illegally hiring Larry Winters. So this is just like, you know, a very little thing that he has done recently by revealing who came to the committee. But it's breaking confidentiality, which is one of the most important things about being a board member, is your fiduciary responsibility, your responsibility to keep confidential information of programmers private. Bill, can you look at me right now? Okay, so I was at the Management Selection and Review Committee. I would appreciate if you had kept that information private. I'm asking you as a programmer. Okay. Do you have anything to say? Okay.
That's to protect your rights, not ours. I have Nick and then Danny.
I feel like I've been here a bunch of times and talked about the same stuff. I feel that a mistake was made in terms of firing Dr. Kamau. And I feel that a lot of times some of the subtle aspects of white supremacy are that we find ourselves giving lots of chances to white folks. And the former station manager, Dwayne Bradley, I feel like had lots of chances to develop his own way of planning, his fundraising. He had all the leeway in the world, and it's not working so well. Well, I'll have another chance to do it a different way. And I feel that the firing of Dr. Kamau is the encapsulation of how those chances aren't given to people of color very often. We don't know what you're doing yet. Well, that's enough. You're fired. That type of thinking, I think, is very indicative of people who have control of businesses, control of buildings, who have control of corporations, control. I'm the one who's on the insurance policy. I'm the one who has the ability to make this call. And I feel like it was a very hasty and lousy decision that should have been rectified quickly. And the idea of Larry Winters coming in, I've been to an awful lot of meetings and have not seen him. I was part of the Indy Media Dialogue when Larry Winters decided through a proxy to have us kicked off of the air. And that type of there's a problem here, let's kick them off the air, let's fire them or whatever. These are indicative of the process that I'm talking about, where it's like, this show, well, we'll give them a warning, and we'll give them another warning, and, you know, we'll sit down and talk to them. No, this show, they're just off the air. And those types of decisions are indicative of, yeah, white supremacy, and indicative of a type of, I'm in charge kind of attitude. Sometimes when you have a group, it can be messy to come to decisions. I feel like this board is a pretty good example of that messiness. And that can be a problem, you know, just having too many folks that are not being able to come to a decision. And then the opposite problem is one person that very hastily will make a decision. Oh, I don't like what's going on. Let's pull out of the Iran nuclear deal, whatever. These types of hasty, why not? You know, I heard there's a problem. Let's cancel them. Let's fire them. Let's whatever. And so I was really excited to be part of KPSC for a little while there during the tenure of Dr. Kamau. And since that time, I feel like there's been endless problems and infighting, and I know that there's a long history of that at Pacifica, but I'm not very happy about being part of that process. And I mean, I'm a long time friend of Bill Crozier, and had very impressed by Bill Crozier's work over the years, and just a few years ago doing social justice conferences, all these types of things. So it was very surprising to me to see that type of behavior. And as I become an older white guy that is relatively able to make decisions and relatively well spoken, I have to watch out for myself. I don't want to become somebody who makes that those types of hasty decisions when I'm in positions of power.
Thank you, Nick. I got another name, so I'm mixing them up. We have Danny and then Judy.
Thank you. My name is Danny Sneed. I'm a returning citizen, a formerly incarcerated person. I use the label returning citizen to replace dehumanizing labels like ex-con, felon, and offender. I served 15 years in TDC, three different times, set on parole 26 years. When I came on parole a couple years ago, I was able to register, vote, and voted my first election in my whole life. I'm 54 years old. And I won't say who I voted for, but that's irrelevant. But the thing about it is, the reason I'm here is a thing called the prison cell. And I have a lot of vested interest in something called the prison cell. And what I said it formally precedes that. But I also have this experience of meeting a lot of great people when I was in prison. But that didn't stop when I got out of prison. I continued to meet good people. And one of the people I met when I got out of prison was David Collinsworth. And we met not because of we had been to prison, but because what we were doing after we had got out of prison. We got involved in restorative justice. We got involved in advocacy work. And I found myself in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the White House, advocating for banning the box at the national level. But I wasn't there with me. They assigned me a room with another person. That person was David Collinsworth. So here we are in Washington, D.C. Both of us have a long history of being in prison. Here we are in Washington, D.C. And we shared this moment together, saying, look at our lives now. Look at the difference we're making. He would go on to do, involve himself in other things. I got involved in working with U.S. Vets right across the street. I got involved in working with Path of Freedom, a reentry ministry at St. John's. I got involved with Truth and Justice, a platform on Houston Media Force that educates the public. I had a life out of prison, and I believe that God had turned my wounds into wisdom. But David called me and said, Danny, you're a veteran, and you've been affected by the criminal justice system. We want to have a platform on the prison show that addresses men and women that are in prison, that are veterans behind the walls. Man, for me, that was a great opportunity. Not just to connect to my brothers and sisters that have served, that I call heroes, but also to serve alongside David and to see how our lives have changed. But what, not so much that our lives have changed, is how we can affect other people's lives. And when we on those airways and we tell a little about who we are and what we're going through, we're giving people hope that are still there. So the platform of the prison show, I was there. I lived that experience. And when you're in that place where love is not a place that flourishes, where hate and despite and resentment and divisiveness rules that environment, your only connection to humanity is through the voices that come over the airways and the letters you get. So having the opportunity to give back in that special way is an honor to me. And I'm just here advocating for, not for me in the prison show, but for the people that are still there that depend and live on that platform. They don't know about the politics of what's going on out here. The only thing they're doing is dealing with the lived experience of what they have in their life right then. The prison show, there's not a lot of competition. There's not a lot of shows nationally dedicated to that particular audience. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
I'd like to suggest that for our next fund drive, one of the premiums we have is Zora Neale Hurston's new book that was written back in 31, took them 87 years to finally get somebody to publish this thing. And it's about, the name of it is Barracoon, The Last Human Cargo. And this is about this one gentleman, this one particular gentleman who his experience from being captured in Africa, Northern Africa, and being sold to a slave ship owner, transported across the ocean, and enslaved in the United States of America, and then his life after that, when he gained his freedom, he and his family gained their freedom. And it's an amazing tale, and it's told in his language, which is dialectical. So it's, that's the reason they didn't want to publish it, because people didn't want to approach such a thing. I don't know what the deal was, really. But it was language that they didn't like. And this is an amazing book, and I think we should give it as a premium. Zora Neale Hurston is a famous writer and an artist of great consequence in the Black Renaissance. And we should honor her and everybody who lives in the United States who probably has at least some kind of drops of this horrible tainted blood that makes people second, third, fourth class. I saw a video of a place that's in gentrification, and the people who are living in the public housing development that's been there, and they're watching these rich folks come in and change the neighborhood on the other side of the street and get great schools on the other side of the street, but for some reason their school is not going to be that great for them. And this little black kid, he said, "Well, I know I'm second or third class." This is just like last year, which is heartbreaking. And I, too, would like to speak up for a little while. We've thrown out.
Obidike.
Sorry. That's the guy's first, actually his last name in the book. But Obidike Kamau. And, we had a complainer of the last termination of the general manager, which may have had some substance to it or may not have. And I know dang good well that Obidike's, I had to make sure I said the right word. I know his had no substance to the firing and or removal. So we need him back.
Thank you, Judy. Number four, and then Jay, and then Pat, and then Wendy.
I'm really
going to
go.
So
it's okay.
Once you're
there, I just can't say all that.
If everyone's okay.
Move Wendy up.
Is it okay to move Wendy up, everyone?
Yes.
All right, Wendy.
Thank you. So I'm Wendy Shrell. I work for the station in the membership department.
I'm actually hired by OpenDK, and stayed on through Larry. I plug along no matter what's going on at the radio station. And we're trying to raise money, and everything, you know, even being in this room now is paid for by the listeners of KPFT. So I really need your guys' help with the latest fundraiser we have, which is this car show and raffle. And, you know, why are you having a car show? You're supposed to be preaching environmental stewardship. Well, we're having a car show because the guy donated a truck to us to raffle off. And he likes car shows, and people at car shows like to buy raffle tickets. So that was really all it was. And I didn't, you know, choose it myself either. It's just let's do this. We're at $8,500 right now. We've sold in raffle tickets. We're trying to make $30,000. We've got a little over 2 weeks left. We don't have very many cars in our car show right now, although we've had an explosion of our cars that are coming due to some stuff that I did over the weekend. But we need more other kinds of cars, classic cars and different kinds of things. If you guys know anybody who does that, really what I need, what everybody can do right now is forward the link to the page to buy the raffle tickets. If you just go to kpft.org, it's the thing that says click here to buy a ticket. Just copy that link, forward it to your Facebooks and your emails or where it'll work everywhere. And there's now finally a form up there to enter the car show if you have a car. But we should make this thing a success so that we can move on to try to build better KPFT every day. I was going to say fight some more, but you know what I mean. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I have tickets now if anybody wants them.
Thank you. Now we have number four, and then Jay. Is there a number four?
Anonymous.
Okay, maybe we just missed that line. I'll check after the next speaker. Who did I say? Jay.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Jay Wilson. I'm a Texas Southern University student. I'm graduating this semester. Go 2018. But what brought me here today is, I'm not here to point fingers at anybody directly. I'm sure as an organization, you all know what problems you have to address. But I also manage a organization of my own with some of my colleagues called AIM. And we deal a lot with, poverty and immigrant rights in the Low Formation area. And believe it or not, I actually look at you guys as one of my biggest sources. I love it because I really get a sense that I get a really in-depth feel of what it is the community needs, and it really helps me in structuring how I go about approaching certain communities, just dealing with certain issues. But, again, speaking from an organizational level, when you have issues that impact you, and when you have, I guess, elements of subversiveness, that tends to marginalize people. And, for me, that really impacts how I go about getting certain forms of information and how I go about dealing with, just the people who I deal with. And, it really hurts me to see that such a great organization such as yourself, who's had such a great lineage in Houston, is coming to blows like this. I mean, I would like to think that, someone who speaks for the community, someone who advocates, who really has a ground level and really understands what is needed in Houston, wouldn't have to go through these issues, wouldn't have to go through these clashes and, this tribalism. And it really hurts me to understand that this is something that we have to deal with. But I like to say that I've actually met with some of the programmers, and if I haven't met you directly, I have to say I really love your work. And it really inspires me, and that's what really led me to do what I do. But when you have people who speak for the community, and I really like the board to hear this, when you have people who speak for the community, but they speak under fear, and they speak under the premise of retaliation, that's a danger. And that's a danger that I feel, just again from an organizational level, that you guys should not want and shouldn't persist. And, getting back to what, a radio station does, it speaks to the people. It builds those connections. And, I could listen to NPR, or I could watch TV all day, but I can't get the same level of craftsmanship, of integrity, and of feeling, and of wisdom that I get with KPFT. So what I'm saying is this, if that's something that you value, if that's something that you really want to create and substantiate, I would really love it that you look at the issues that we have today, and that you really build bridges and not walls. and that you really look at what it is that you have to address, and that you make those decisions. Because it doesn't just affect people like you who are here tonight, it affects people like me who aren't here tonight. Thank you.
Pat Hartwell Harper. This is the last, unless number four appears.
I'm
going to
leave flyers for the card show on the table over here.
Thank you.
Pat has the floor. I'm Pat Hartwell Harper, and before I start my speech, I want to address the prison show. My husband, Garland Harper, has written a letter several months ago asking that his name, David Collinsworth, not be used on the air. It was used by Danielle the other night. He does not want his name used by you, Danielle, or Linda, or Hank. So please, Garland Harper, 999-560. My husband does not want his name used. And I'd also like to address before I start, Rhonda Gardner says staff under here. Why? I thought she'd been fired. My understanding, I don't understand why she's still representing the staff. That's the housekeeping rule. I'm here, also, my third housekeeping rule is, I was told that someone from the prison show was taking license plate numbers. And this person would like to know why y'all were taking license plate numbers before we came up here. Hank, as usual, is late, so he's not involved. But there were a few taking license plate numbers, and that makes us suspicious. Rhonda already has my information because she's the one that told the cops on me and told me. It doesn't matter. I'm here to talk about this man that is the interim general manager that we don't know his real name because everyone calls him Larry Winters. And I find that suspect too. I'm also here to address why Hank Lamb, who's one of the most racist people that was on the board and now is around, is taking up for Larry Winters. That is suspect also. And it's also suspect that Hank Lamb is using the excuse of the prison show that he couldn't come to the meeting last Friday and address it. Hank, you can go to cruises. You can go to concerts. You can't make this important meeting to speak for 10 minutes or whatever. I find that unusual, but yet you can go in public and state how oppressed you are. You're not oppressed, Hank. You're a white man. You are not oppressed, I guarantee you. You want someone oppressed? You look at OBDK, who you had a hand in firing illegally. You, Bill Crozier, I'm talking to you. Bill Crozier and Rhonda used as a surrogate every nasty thing that wanted to come out of Bill Crozier's mouth. He's a smart man. He got Rhonda to do it. No one knew that Rhonda was going to get fired. Sorry, Rhonda.
Sorry.
Shit, karma is it's shit. Yeah, it is a bitch. She wrote me. So understand, Hank Lamb's could have been at the meeting. Hank Lamb could have spoken what he wanted to say. He has every right to get up and say what he wanted to say to the board. But Hank Lamb cannot play, oh, woe is me. I have a prison show to go to. And let's talk about the prison show for a second since y'all brought it up. You want to be spanked, Pan? Seriously? 50.43. Oh, I'm going to get spanked. 51.20. Oh, you're going to spank me when you were talking to Danielle. 51.28. Oh, I'm bad. Do I get spanked?
You're worried about somebody running.
You're out of order.
Right.
The prison, the LSB has a goal. It's to get rid of this man who calls himself Larry Winters. Do your job.
Thank you. That concludes public comment. We have to move into executive session right now, so public, thank you for speaking. Now I'm going to ask you to leave, and please treat each other civilly when you leave this meeting. I have no control over it. I'm just asking for your better spirits to come out. As we transition...